Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading additional articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. From Thursday, January 20th. Grande Stadium to get new name. By Stuart Doreen. Grande Communications Stadium will soon have a different name. The City of Midland reported Wednesday that Astound Broadband will soon have its name on the football soccer stadium at the Scarver Sports Complex. Grande Communications has changed its name to Astound Broadband, powered by Grande, according to a Reporter Telegram report. An Astound Broadband spokesperson said in a statement, "The Grande Stadium is one of our most proud and prominent sponsorships. For this reason, we did contact the city early last year to let them know, and we have since been working with a local contractor on the construction of the new stadium signage. The plan is for Grande Communications Stadium to become Astound Broadband Stadium, but the timing is likely a few months out. As we get closer, we plan to work with the stadium, city, and other local officials to make it a great relaunch of a wonderful and continued sponsorship." The city reported this week that Astound officials reached out last year so we could work through some details. It will be similar to when the baseball stadium banks changed. It's the first time since the stadium opened that the naming rights have changed. The baseball stadium at the Scarver Sports Complex has gone through a few name changes. It opened in 2002 as First American Bank Ballpark. Names that followed were Citibank Ballpark, Security Bank Ballpark, and Momentum Bank Ballpark, the current name. "Keeping ourselves grounded in our deep-rooted focus on customer service is at the core of what we do," said Jim Holanda, CEO of Astound Broadband, in a statement. "We've been part of our local communities for years. Our dedicated teams will continue to serve the areas where they live and work." Austin's Hop Daddies announces acquisition of Grub Burger Bar. Small Bites by J.C. Lewis. Hop Daddy Burger Bar announced the definitive agreement to acquire Grub Burger Bar on January 13th. Hop Daddy, the popular Austin-born burger joint, will merge with Grub Burger Bar, the Bryan-based brand known for its signature burgers, hand-spun shakes, scratch kitchen, and craft cocktail bar, to bring a shared vision and craveable menu to more burger lovers, according to a press release. The terms of the transaction were not disclosed. The two high-performing brands intend to capitalize on complementary capabilities while expanding into new markets, according to a news release. The new combined company, High Bar Hospitality Group, is backed by L. Catterton. It will be led by Hop Daddy CEO Jeff Chandler. Grub founder and CEO Jimmy Loop will retain a stake in the combined business and join the company's board of directors. Hop Daddy, which has been part of the L. Catterton family since 2014, is recognized as an award-winning burger bar and an industry leader in the better burger space, according to the news release. Hop Daddy is ramping up development and expanding in its core markets at a continued pace of about 8 to 12 units per year. Hop Daddy currently owns and operates 32 restaurants across 5 states and is growing rapidly. Hop Daddy's menu features lamb patties, bison patties, beef patties, ahi tuna burgers, black bean, and Beyond Meat burgers, a Nashville hot chicken sandwich, Parmesan truffle fries, buffalo fries, nacho fries, sweet potato fries, cocktails, beer, wine, boozy and regular shakes, a kids menu, and more. Grub was founded in 2012 by Loop and currently owns and operates 18 restaurants across 4 states. Grub features chef-driven burgers and sandwiches, handcrafted shakes, and full-service bars with craft cocktails, along a wide side variety of draft beer and wine. Hop Daddy and Grub now operate 50 restaurants, combined with 31 restaurants in Texas alone, with plans for immediate continued growth in the state and other key markets. Grubb has locations in Georgia and Florida. Midland and Odessa Grubb Burger Bar owners have not yet commented if these changes will affect locations here. And now here are articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Friday, January 21st. Baker Hughes says bottom line improved in 21, by Paul Takahashi, Houston Chronicle. Baker Hughes slashed its losses last year as the oil field services industry began to recover from the pandemic-driven oil crash of 2020. The Houston oil field service giant on Thursday said it lost $330 million in 2021, compared with a loss of $15.8 billion in the previous year. Revenue fell slightly to $20.5 billion, down from $20.7 billion in 2020. Overall, 2021 proved to be successful on many fronts for Baker Hughes, with key commercial successes and developments in the LNG and new energy markets, as well as record cash flow from operations and free cash flow, and peer-leading capital allocation, CEO Lorenzo Simonelli said. Baker Hughes and other oil field service giants are benefiting from an upswing in drilling activity in North America as business and travel recover from the pandemic, pushing crude and natural gas prices. West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. crude benchmark, was trading at $86.17 on Thursday morning, down 79 cents from Wednesday, but up from $48 a barrel a year ago. Baker Hughes posted its second profitable quarter in a row during the fourth quarter. The company reported profits of $294 million during the last 3 months ended December 31st, up from profits of $8 million during the third quarter. Orders for Baker Hughes services and equipment were up 28% in the fourth quarter, although revenue was flat year over year at $5.5 billion, as the company faced an increasingly difficult supply chain environment at the end of the year, Simonelli said. Still, the company returned almost $1.2 billion back to shareholders last year through dividends and share buybacks. Baker Hughes recently created a climate technology solutions business, which will focus on carbon capture technology, hydrogen, carbon emissions management, and clean power solutions. Simonelli said he believes the creation of this business group will help accelerate commercial development for low-carbon technologies as the world shifts away from fossil fuels to mitigate climate change. Simonelli says he expects strong, broad-based recovery for oil field service demand as the global economy recovers from the pandemic and as fossil fuel supplies tighten after years of dwindling oil industry investment. He anticipates that private investment and production companies will drive drilling activity, while public producers will remain disciplined to woo back Wall Street investment to the sector. Traders bet Lurch will prove policy mistake, by James Harai, Bloomberg. A cohort of traders is betting the hawkish monetary lurch on both sides of the Atlantic will prove a policy mistake down a road, forcing central banks to cut rates to salvage economic growth. As a slew of Wall Street names lash authorities for letting inflation run wild, one corner of the interest rate market now suggests the Federal Reserve will be forced to reverse course in 3 years' time. It's a trend that started in the UK even before the Bank of England surprised the market by raising interest rates to 0.25% last month, its first increase in 3 years. In hiking policy rates, central banks are trying to fix an inflation problem they did not cause, and in doing so may cause more harm than good, wrote Jamie Cyril, rates strategist at Citigroup Incorporated. Policy error pricing is creeping in for the Fed, as is already the case for the BOE. Fed officials are signaling higher borrowing rates to come in the grip of the highest inflation in nearly four decades in large part thanks to the chaos in global supply chains. Money markets are wagering on 6 25 basis point hikes in the next 2 years before the policy rate plateaus and dips slightly in 2025. In the UK, investors are betting the bank rate will climb to as high as 1.35% in 18 months' time before easing. Agency searches for 200 million missing barrels of oil, by Alex and Julian Lee, Bloomberg. The International Energy Agency is trying to figure out where 200 million barrels of oil went. The advisor to energy-consuming nations said on Wednesday that observable global oil inventories plunged by more than 600 million barrels last year. That would be fine were it not for the fact, based on its estimates of supply and demand, that the decrease should have only been 400 million. There is always a gap between the two, but the 200 million barrel discrepancy means the oil market could be tighter than previously thought. The gap could be a result of underreporting of demand or overreporting of production, the IEA said. Its monthly report is a benchmark for traders trying to evaluate the balance between supply and demand the world over. A retrospective view shows the difficulty over the past 2 years of reliably analyzing and forecasting supply and demand, the agency said on Wednesday. Lessons learned will improve the work in 2022 and allow us to better understand our market. While the balance of supply and demand may be one cause of the mismatch, there could be others too. The agency uses satellite data to track oil stockpiles, for example, but that doesn't extend to the barrels used to fill pipes or those stored in huge underground caverns. There are also issues with reporting. While huge emphasis is placed on stockpiles in OECD nations, the IEA's core reporting area, there are burgeoning volumes outside the region that go unreported, particularly in China. Cold temps drive drop in Texas natural gas supplies, by Gerson Freitas Jr., Sergio Chapa, and Francisca Maglione, Bloomberg. Texas natural gas production dropped for the second time this month because of freezing temperatures settling over the state. Output on Thursday was down 6.2%, according to preliminary Bloomberg NEF data based on pipeline flows. That's the biggest decline since January 2nd, when a similar blast of frigid air curbed supplies. It's a safe assumption to call freeze-offs, Bloomberg NEF analyst Jade Patterson said, adding that figures may still be adjusted throughout the day. Data from analytics firm RBN Energy Thursday shows a 4.4 drop in production from the Permian Basin alone. Production shut-ins are not uncommon in Texas during cold weather, typically occurring at least once or twice a year. And while a single-day drop of 6% is bigger than usual, Thursday's dip was largely offset by a jump in withdrawals from gas storage on the Gulf Coast, so gas and power prices weren't affected. Yet the increasing frequency of such events, two freeze-offs in a matter of weeks, raises questions about Texas's ability to avoid a repeat of the deadly energy crisis that crippled the gas sector and plunged millions into darkness less than 1 year ago. Even modest production drops can affect the power supply. During the last cold blast at the beginning of January, gas output fell by about 7%. At the same time, Texas lost about 1.3 gigawatts of electrical generation due to gas supply issues. The Texas Oil and Gas Association, which represents producers, downplayed the impact of Thursday's drop. TXOGA is confident the natural gas supply is strong, said Association President Todd Staples. Feedback from our membership confirms production variations have been minimal and something less than 5% seems consistent statewide. More output declines may be on the horizon. The cold, sweeping Texas threatens to send temperatures below freezing across much of the state, with oil and gas fields in West Texas facing low temperatures in the teens and 20s through Saturday, according to the National Weather Service. Houston, the center of the state's petrochemical industry, could reach 32 degrees Friday night. Chesapeake nears deal for cheap oil. Chesapeake Energy Corporation is in advanced talks to acquire privately owned natural gas producer Chief Oil and Gas Incorporated for about $2.4 billion, including debt, Reuters reported, citing people familiar with the matter. A deal could be announced as soon as this week, Reuters said. The news agency reported in October that Chief Oil and Gas was exploring a sale amid the surge in energy prices that was boosting valuations in the industry. Chesapeake didn't immediately respond to an email seeking comment outside usual office hours. The deal would be the second in the matter of months for Chesapeake, the natural gas producer that emerged from bankruptcy last year. The company agreed to acquire Vine Energy Incorporated, a rival driller controlled by Blackstone Group Incorporated, in August for about $2.2 billion amid a wave of consolidation in the U.S. shale patch. The sector has been under pressure from investors to consolidate in order to achieve cost savings, boost dividends, and create operators with greater scale following several years of dire financial performance.
Prescription dosage instructions. Dear Dr. Roach, I have had numerous discussions with people about prescription dosage instructions and wonder if you could clarify. If a medication says 3 times daily, to me that means every 8 hours. If it's 4 times daily, I take it every 6 hours, etc. Other people tell me I am way too precise, that it means morning, noon, and night, or even breakfast, lunch, dinner. I think it would be better to keep an even amount in one system throughout a 24-hour period, so I just set a timer so as not to miss. Any comments? LL. Answer. You do sound like a very precise person, and I am sure your doctor is delighted at your compliance with medications. In point of fact, on prescriptions, 3 times daily... still abbreviated TID on a prescription from the Latin, means something different from every 8 hours, Q8H. A medicine written 3 times daily has enough leeway in its dosing regimen that it may be taken morning, noon, night at the patient's convenience. In these cases, taking the medication an hour or two earlier or later will not affect the medication's effectiveness. A medicine that needs exact timing would be written every 8 hours, sometimes with exact instructions such as 7 a.m., 3 p.m., 11 p.m. Every 6 hours is not so easy for a person at home to do, and fortunately, there aren't many drugs that need precise dosing every 6 hours. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Man's history of sexual abuse hidden for years. Dear Abby, during my teenage years, I was repeatedly raped by my brother. The emotional and physical damage has left my life broken. He is now in a long-term relationship. Should I tell his girlfriend about the abuse? When I confronted him about it years ago, he denied it. If you were his girlfriend, would you want to know? Signed, Holding a Secret. Dear Holding, yes, I would want to know. I'll bet your parents would also have wanted to know, as would your teachers at school or school counselors. So your brother could have been reported as a sexual predator and stopped. By all means, tell the girlfriend, particularly if she has a daughter. P.S. Because of what your brother did has left lasting scars, please seek counseling with a licensed therapist with expertise in treating victims of sexual abuse. Contact RAINN for more guidance. You will find it on the internet at RAINN.org. Dear Abby, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. I doubt that I will live another 10 years. My wife is arguing with me because I want to draw down my 401k over the next 10 years so I can enjoy the savings I have accrued during my long career. We're talking about a lot of money. Expensive cars, expensive second homes, extravagant vacations. How can I convince her that I deserve this after having worked for 40 years and that we should enjoy these savings for the period of time left for me on earth? Signed, Wants to Enjoy Life Now. Dear Wants, I'm sure your diagnosis has been frightening for both you and your wife. She may be worried that if you plow through all the money, there will be nothing left for her after you're gone. although you are dubious about it, there is also the possibility that you may live 10 more years and beyond. That's why this is an important subject you and your wife should discuss with a financial advisor. Dear Abby, I work in an office where people occasionally bring in treats to share with coworkers. Usually we place the goodies in a common area and let others know there's food available and they're welcome to it. The problem I'm having is that one particular coworker brings in treats and shares them only with her favorite office buddies. She's not discreet about it either. She struts around the office and makes a big scene delivering her homemade treats to her friends, right in front of the people she has chosen not to include. Should she be confronted and told she's being rude and inconsiderate, or should her behavior just be ignored? Signed, Missing Out. Dear Missing Out, what your coworker is doing is rude. This is a lesson in politeness and consideration for others that children in grammar school usually learn. Perhaps she was playing hooky that day. That said, if there's no rule in your office against it, I do not advise confronting her. Turnabout
is
fair play, and
perhaps
you should discuss a delicious solution with the rest of the unfavored.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.